You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.
Couldn't do without after ball breakfast in the mornings.
Good morning, lads. How are you, Jeremy?
They're fun. They get on well.
You start the day with a good energy.
I love watching.
This is brilliant.
Huge fan, yeah?
Listen to Off the Ball Breakfast live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker.
Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Highly recommend it.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome along to the football show. Shamrock Rovers are edging towards a qualifier next round against Sparta Prague. They're 2-0 up at halftime at Tala Stadium against Fakinger. That is 2-0 on aggregate as well. Johnny Kenny with both of the goals set up by Dylan Watts. So 2-0 to the League of Ireland champions at the break. But it is time for us now to look back on a huge win for the Republic of Ireland women's team, beating the second best team in the world, France, by 3-1 on Lee's side at Páirc Uí Chaoimh. The goals all coming in the second half. Denise O'Sullivan back in her home county scoring the first, then Julianne Russell, who had laid on the first goal for Denise O'Sullivan, scoring the second. What a few days it's been for her on her return to the international team. France got a goal to pull one back, but any nerves there were put away by Anna Patton scoring a very low late goal for Eileen Gleeson's team. It's a huge morale booster as well. Ahead of the playoffs, the draw taking place on Friday, and the Republic of Ireland on the back of this result will be seeded for that draw as well. Delighted to say we're joined from Páirc Uí Chaoimh by Kathleen McNamee, who's been watching all evening, and we've got Ireland international Ciara Grant with us as well. Kathleen, if I can come to you first. What a night on Lee's side. Every interview afterwards that I heard with the players, they were saying, let's not let it go another 11 years before we come back to Cork again. Everyone seems to have had a wonderful night with this win against, admittedly, a much-changed French team.
Yeah, I think that's very much the feeling here tonight. I mean, the crowd was sensational. I think a lot of us coming down here didn't really know what to expect, having not been in Cork for such a long time. First time in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. The pitch was like a little bit far away from you just because of the dimensions of it. But the atmosphere, especially when those goals went in, was absolutely incredible. I have an interview coming on Off the Ball tomorrow morning with Denise O'Sullivan. And I said to her, the only time I've heard an Irish crowd roar that loudly was for Katie McCabe whenever she scored that goal in Australia. And there was a debate going on with some of the journalists in there that actually that roar tonight was even louder than that. So that goes to show you what the atmosphere was like down here. I think, like, for anyone that's been following this team over this qualification period, it's just been a bit of a slog at times. You know, we haven't really looked like scoring those goals. We haven't looked like opening up teams. But tonight there was just a confidence. And I think Leanne Kiernan put it really well after the game and said, I think we needed to come down to Cork. I think we needed that refreshment. And you can hear a bit more from her on Off the Ball over the next couple of days. But that very much seemed to be the sense coming from the team, that just getting out of the hive of Dublin, getting out of not going to traveling to far off places, and just having that little bit of peace has really served the team well.
Absolutely. Ciara, just watching the game here, like, it was very clear that every time that Denise Sullivan got the ball, it seemed to get the crowd involved and they got louder and louder. And then obviously when she scored, it absolutely exploded entirely when she was pulling out the crest and giving it a kiss after she'd put that wonderful strike across goal, which again, Julianne Russell, who we'll talk about in a moment, had a big part to play, a lovely assist to set her up as well.
Yeah, I think if we talk about Denise first of all, like, you know, she is the Queen of Cork. We definitely don't need to ask Denise where she's from because everybody knows it. But no, I think she played to the crowd very well. But she said at the end that she had about 60 family members there, but she probably had a lot more than she's letting on. But no, it was honestly, it was so good. I think from the get-go, the direct style of football, when we had that much speed up top with so many players with speed, I think was becoming evidently effective. And Julianne Russell's engine from the start was just incredible, both on the ground, in the air. She was winning balls, but also as soon as she was winning them, Leanne Kiernan was ready to go, ready to run. I think that was something maybe we were lacking. We maybe had it on the wings quite a lot, but that central attacking area up high, I think the French kind of didn't know what to do with it because they probably haven't had that with the Irish before. But no, Denise is just a class act, both on the ball, off the ball. And the way she took that goal, first touch, it was lovely, set up by Julianne. But Denise's first touch, you can see her head's up. She's looking where she wants to hit it, and she just places it perfectly in the bottom corner.
Yeah, because I think here when
there's
you...
actually a funny story about that, Kira. We were talking to Denise and she was saying that she had actually said, Colin Healy had said to her, "You're going to score a goal tonight." And Denise was like, "Yeah, I know." And I asked her what she thought about whatever that moment came to her. And she was like, "Yeah, I just looked up and I was like, this is the goal I said I'm going to score."
And look, I think that attitude and that mindset just shows how elite Denise is. You know, she's one of the best players I think that's ever come out of Ireland, and she's only getting better and better. I think that's shown in America and for us in Ireland. So yeah, just class act.
Kira, if you could talk to us a bit about how Ireland's set up. So France naturally lost a bit of continuity by making the 11 changes. They qualified, so understandably, I think Hervé Renard said they had half an eye in the Olympics and maybe trying a few players out tonight. So maybe that explains a bit about how they were disjointed. But Ireland set up, I thought, really well. They were compact and difficult to break down in the first half. The French attacks really were limited to crosses coming into the box, which Ireland were able to deal with. And as you say, they were very good then at getting one-on-one situations because they would release the ball very directly to those mm-hmm. forwards. So I'm sure Eilean Gleeson is very happy both sides of the ball with the way they played tonight.
I think so, and I think you have to know your strengths. They set the defence up. They brought Louise back in, which I think, you know, aerial balls, it's her forte. And I think that really just, even the kind of cohesiveness of the back three, it was like a brick wall at times. There was no balls coming through them. The balls that were coming in from the wings, they were clearing. And then I think Anna Patton and Caitlin Hayes' long delivery of balls as well allowed our wingbacks to get higher up to support almost the second ball. Denise was staying quite high alongside Leanne and Julianne. And then Julianne and Leanne just seemed to click from the get-go. Leanne was ready to go once Julie was going up for the ball and vice versa. And I think almost all of our chances came from either direct long balls. I know some of them might have been a hit and hope, but that's always when the ball's in the air, it's nobody's ball, so there's always a chance of winning it. And then all the rest of our chances came from Julie and Leanne's high press and winning the ball back.
Kathleen, we spoke on Friday about Julianne Russell coming back in and what a story this was, and her daughter being around the camp, and she was in her arms after the game for the post-game interviews on the TV too. Like, what a magic story this is. We wondered what impact she was going to have in winning Cap 61 against England. Comes on, puts the ball in the net in Norwich, and now tonight a goal and an assist. That is some return to international football.
It was absolutely incredible. And I think that moment whenever Julianne took baby Rosie into her hands and brought her over to the team and the whole team started doing baby Rosie celebration, which is like, if people haven't seen it, it's like a backwards wave because she hasn't quite figured out how to do the front wave yet. But there was almost a massive cheer around the stadium for her as well. And for that moment that they got to share together, it seemed really, really special. I think Karen and I talked about this on the Koi Gate podcast, and I think it's a moment for all of us to reflect on how we look at the league here at home, because often we look at, you know, someone like Tara O'Hanlon going to Manchester City, or we look at Erin McLaughlin and those younger players, Jesse Stapleton, Jesu. But there's actually players in this league that can come in and make a massive impact on the team that are maybe not in their late teens, early 20s. And obviously, Julianne has such a history with the team, like the 60-odd caps that she has from before, that she knows what she's going into and she has that experience. But we're watching a player who's in her absolute prime, who's managed to do it like Katie McCabe couldn't do, Leanne Kiernan couldn't do, Amber Barrett couldn't do, you know, players that are playing at top, top level. And it's a woman from Galway United who's got the goals and the assists for us that have finally broken the curse of this team scoring. So it's just, it's a brilliant story. And like, it couldn't happen to a nicer person. You're chatting to Julianne after the games and she just seems so grateful. And I suppose when you've gone through that experience of childbirth and having to get back to fitness and coming back into the team and doing everything she has to done with Galway this year, it's just a 10 out of 10 story.
Yeah, Kira, she's going to stay as a bit of an outlier because she said on the telly after the game, no great interest in moving abroad, spoke about how much she's enjoying playing for Galway at the moment and playing within the League of Ireland in her own situation. So at a time, as Kathleen has outlined, that all the young players are going across to try and make it in the WSL, it would appear that Julianne Russell will continue to ply her trade over here.
Yeah, I think it's just a credit to Julianne. Like, Julianne was known her entire career for her work ethic, her speed, her tenacity. You know, I played with her for several years, both at club and country, and if you didn't go for a ball, you heard about it. I always loved being on Julie's team for everything because she was so competitive. But I also think it shows the standard of the Irish League and how it's getting better, because Julianne's, yeah, she's playing well for Galway, but she's getting tested, she's getting challenged. Galway United have done such great work over there. They're now competing for, hopefully, well, a league title. I'm sure they're aiming for this year. But then when you see Julie against England and against France, she doesn't stand out. She doesn't look like a League of Ireland player. And I think that's a credit to the league and how fit the girls are getting, how strong they're getting, how competitive the league is getting. So players at home, no matter what age they are, can slot into the Irish team. And, you know, I think it's a great even promotion of the league. Julianne's promoting the league in herself and her performances too.
Kathleen, bigger picture when it comes to these last two performances, it's always wonderful to finish on a high at the end of a campaign, but to have three teams that were in the semi-finals at the last European Championships, you know, showed the pedigree of opponent in this group, and we thought getting a point, whatever, getting three at the end of it would be a huge achievement. But these last two performances, compared to maybe hanging on a little bit away to Sweden or going very defensive away to France, must be pleasing to see the way they've played in this international window that we've just had.
Absolutely. And I actually think this is the first game that I've gone into where I've been negative enough, where I haven't been like, oh, maybe if we get a point, it'd be great. I was just like, keep the scoreline down, make sure we keep that 4-goal difference with Poland. But yeah, I think we have seen a real progression with this Eileen Gleeson team. And I was critical during the week that I didn't see consistency in terms of how the team was being picked and how that team was being formed, and some of that was down to injuries and different things. But I think we saw tonight the benefit of developing those relationships. You know, as Kira said earlier, Julianne and Leanne, the way that they were linking up, the fact that everyone else in the team was pretty much consistent to how we've had it over the rest of the tournament. And I think what we're going to see is, compare it to the game we played against Wales, where they were coming out of League A and we were coming out of League B, and we saw the vast amount of experience that they had got from that, even though we would have counted ourselves at a similar, if not a higher level. I think whenever we get to this draw on Friday, I think it's around midnight, or not midnight, sorry, midday our time. I've been up since like 7 a.m., so time doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I think once we see ourselves once against one of those teams, we're really going to see the benefit of these last couple of months. And to go into that with a win, and most importantly, those goals. I think those goals are really, really key, because that is something that we have struggled with even at the World Cup last year. I think we're going to see a really interesting, exciting style of football. And I hope I haven't really cursed us after saying all that, but it is how I feel.
Yeah, because...
Go on,
Karen.
The last time we were on, we talked about that kind of, you know, post-Wales, like, the game we lost against Wales had just come out of a very similar group than us. And I think Kathleen just like really hit the nail on the head there with the goals. Yes, you can put in good performances, and we put in some gutsy performances at the start of this group, but here we are now leaving with 4 goals in 2 games against England and France. Like, the girls have to feed off that confidence, and they weren't just happens, they weren't mistakes, they were great goals that were scored, all 4 of them. So I think that confidence now, on the back of all the learning, all the squad development in this whole campaign, you know, I don't, like, whoever we get in the qualifiers, I think the team are going to be confident. And I think that's a great way to be. I'm almost better than coming out of the B League, you know, where they had all of these wins and all of these goals. Whereas now we're scoring goals against big teams. We're learning how to play against big teams, you know. So, and we haven't conceded that many goals too. So it's a nice combo that we're getting here. But there is still some chopping and changing with the team, and I'm sure that that'll all get figured out in the next few months as well.
Kathleen, when it comes to this draw,
Kira, what you said there is a good point in terms of the type of goals we scored, because we would have accepted if we came out the other side with those goals, maybe they were a bit of a scramble or something, but they weren't at all.
Kathleen, when it comes to this draw on Neon at midday or so, when it happens on Friday, like, how important was it to be seeded for this? Because there was obviously a certain amount of nerviness on Friday about how many goals England could potentially score, and you were waiting to see how many Poland would score. That was all put to bed with this 3-1 win. So I think Greece are the highest ranked team that Ireland could potentially get here now.
Yeah, the main thing about the seeding was that we wouldn't meet a potential Group A opponent in the second round of the playoff. So our potential opponents on Friday are Montenegro, Luxembourg, North Macedonia, Belarus, Slovenia, Romania, Albania and Greece. And as you say, Greece are the highest ranked in that. But we would expect to get past whoever we play in that, really, especially after what we've done over the last couple of days. So I think the fear was that we would then get to the next round and we would meet a League A team. And so that's why we wanted to be seeded, to make sure we miss them. And I think it's now more likely that we'll get one of the higher League B teams. So maybe like a Wales or a Portugal or one of those. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how far we've come, and hopefully we can use, I mean, hopefully A, we win that middle game, and also B, we use it as another stepping stone into the rest of the playoffs.
Kira, I don't like the sound of potentially having to play against Wales, but if it is a, you know, high-ranked B team after navigating this first round, would you be confident about Ireland getting to Switzerland next summer then?
Yeah, I think so. Like, after the performances of the last two games, I really believe so, and I just think, you know, that's another year down the line too. So it's just another, like, more time to develop the team. We have a great kind of age range in the team at the moment, a lot of experience. And we have to remember, a lot of the team today and against England are out of season. And I know that's no excuse, but the girls have a season upcoming as well where they can get better and then get into more regular game time. I'm really excited to see how Jess Zhu develops over the season as well. I think, you know, she's almost a quiet player on the pitch, but she's doing so much. But I still think there's so much more of Jess we have to see in terms of goals, in terms of assists, and I'm excited to see her develop. And yeah, just I think no matter what opponent we get now, I think the girls are going to have that self-belief to go the whole way.
Kathleen, if I can give you the final word on this, Páirc Uí Chaoimh is a venue and what you've experienced there. The one thing that was quite bizarre, we saw after the Denise O'Sullivan goal went in, they had to put black bin bags up to block the old Gaelic football scoreboard to make it 1-0 and not the points to be over to the right-hand side of it. But aside from that, and aside from the fact that it's quite a large Gaelic Games pitch, which kind of, I think, feels a bit unusual when rugby or football ends up on it, what was the experience like as a venue for Páirc Uí Chaoimh for this international?
Was the most like viral thing that I put up all night. I really enjoyed it. I think the atmosphere was really nice in the build up to the game. There's so much space around it outside the actual stadium itself, and because it was such a nice day, the weather was nice, people were chilling outside getting their little bits of food or whatever, and then the atmosphere was incredible in the stadium. I think, and I've said this for a long time, I think we need a breaching ground between Tala and the Aviva, and I think Páirc Uí Chaoimh proved tonight that it probably is a pretty perfect breaching ground. So I would 100% come back to Cork. Maybe I'm a little bit rose-tinted coloured glasses after like watching this team struggle for so long, but you couldn't have faulted the atmosphere there tonight. It was brilliant, despite, as you say, like terraces not being open and the pitch being a little bit far away. And they just grew into it as well. And it'd be really nice to nurture that over the next couple of games. We've seen it with the Aviva. The more games we have there, the better the atmosphere is. We see with the travelling support, the more games that they go to, the better chance we're hearing. So why not nurture a little bit down here in Páirc Uí Chaoimh as well?
Well, Corkness is off the charts. We're going to be talking to Tim Vickery about the Copa America in a moment. But Kira, Kathleen, thanks a million for joining us on The Football Show.
Thanks, Will.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20, code POD20 for 20% off your first product.